This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. There's a little confusion in Washington about government policy on ethanol. As a candidate, Donald Trump promised corn growers he would support increased use of corn ethanol. But in recent days, President Trump's head of the EPA, Scott Pruitt, has been criticized for how he's handling the renewable fuel standards, sometimes called the ethanol mandate. It requires oil refineries to mix renewable fuels such as ethanol with gasoline. Well, joining us today to sort out the latest on corn ethanol is Jeff Sanborn. He's a corn farmer in Ionia County. He also sits on the board of the National Corn Growers Association and the Michigan Farm Bureau. So what was the concern farmers and ethanol producers had about Pruitt regarding the renewable fuel standards?
The main thing is he's granting these small refinery waivers, and that has basically taken out 2 billion gallons of ethanol as part of the RFS. So by granting those waivers, so he's saying one thing and then doing something in the background differently. And plus, he hasn't followed through on the reed vapor pressure waiver for E15, so that can be used year-round by consumers.
Right. I wanted to ask you about that because most gasoline has a 10% blend of corn ethanol in it. And during part of the year, you can also get a 15% blend, but not all year-round. The Trump administration is considering 15% to be sold year-round. Where is that proposal?
It's something they're still working on. The president has stood behind it. It's just getting the EPA to follow through with it. It's basically from that June 1st to September 15th, I think, time frame, that without the reed vapor pressure waiver, the one-pound waiver, they call it, E85 can't be sold during the summer months, which is ironic because if you look at the graphs that we've seen, that I'm not sure the technical term, but basically the off-gassing, why they did the waiver for E10, it peaks at E10. It actually gets better at E15. So there's really no reasoning why to not grant it for E15 and higher blends.
If E15 is sold year-round, how much more ethanol would be used each year?
Well, you know, it opens the door for 50% more. So you take basically our 15 billion gallons that we're doing now, and you could add 50% to that. But reality is it's going to be less than that because pretty much every vehicle the EPA said that has been built since 2001 can run on E15. Most of the new vehicles allow E15 or up to E20. But it's an infrastructure issue, too, that there's not all pumps are UL registered to go beyond E10. So as long as you get a newer pump that's been UL certified to E15 or higher, then it could be sold to that infrastructure.
The EPA kept E15 off the market during the summer months because it said it contributed to smog. What's changed?
It's just the EPA gets very detailed in how they follow things. So the waiver that allowed the 10% or E10 fuel to be sold only specified E10, even though the reason they gave that waiver for E10, when you go to E15 or higher blends, it gets better. So really, the science says running E15 actually makes things better than E10. But because of the way it was worded, they only allowed E10 for that waiver. So it's a little bit of, I don't know what you want to call it, following the rules too tightly or not having a broad enough initial conversation on the whole topic.
As you know, there's no shortage of criticism about ethanol. You've probably dealt with all these statements before. It's said that it lowers the miles per gallon of fuel you get. It's corrosive to car engines. It's not economically viable without government mandates and subsidies to keep the price down at the pump. And it's no better for the environment than just burning gasoline. So why is corn ethanol not, as one opinion piece put it, a boondoggle?
Well, for one, the mandates have been gone. The blender's credit, it was called, was gone, I think, in 2011. So that blending credit is what it was called, has been gone for, we're going on 7 years. So there is no direct subsidies for ethanol anymore. There are still subsidies for oil that have been in place for years. You know, they've kind of been hidden, and no one really knows the total, but billions of dollars, whatever they are. Really, the only thing that ethanol has is, and it's called the RFS, mandate, but really it's a mandate to not have 100% petroleum-based fuel. It opens the door for an alternative. So people get stuck on the mandate wording, but without it, we have 100% mandate of petroleum because the doors are not going to be open to an alternative without something like the RFS.
Let's talk about some of the criticisms one by one.
Okay.
First, the fuel mileage. I read that it takes about a gallon and a half of ethanol to produce the same amount of energy as provided in 1 gallon of gasoline. So why would that be a good deal for consumers?
It's more the octane benefit that you're getting from it. So yes, the energy density of ethanol is less than petroleum, but the octane is much higher. So So that's basically what the oil industry has done, is they've, when they started blending up to the 10%, they've lowered the octane level of the base gas, the other 90%, I think it's 84. And with the ethanol blended, they bring it up to the 87 that we buy at the pump. So by having that octane, that's what offsets the energy density issue with ethanol. I mean, if you're running E85, which is up to 85% ethanol, you are going to get a reduced mileage. I mean, I've got a Jeep Grand Cherokee. The mileage goes from basically 20 down to 16, but the price difference more than offsets the mileage loss. So I'm actually, my cost per mile is less. And that's the other thing. You can buy gasoline out there that is 0% ethanol, but usually the price is higher. I mean, it's a Marina's, it's 30 to 40 to 50 cents higher. So now you got to look at it. Even if you do get a mild mileage reduction, is your cost per mile less? And if you can go to pumps and see 0%, 87 octane will be 30 cents higher than E10. Okay, so you're not losing that much mileage. Your cost per mile is less.
Increasingly, the environmental benefits of ethanol are being questioned by a lot of scientists, in fact. The energy it takes to produce ethanol is almost as much as ethanol provides. Another study from the University of Michigan suggests instead of reducing greenhouse gases, it actually increases them. How is corn ethanol good for the environment, if that's the case?
The problem with a lot of those studies, and you know, you can Google and you get one that's been hit the most, is it's old data. Some of those studies are looking back at the way agriculture was in the 60s or the 80s. We have come a long way with technology in agriculture and efficiency in agriculture. We're basically growing a much higher yielding crop on the same amount of fertilizer we used 20 or 30 years ago. And that's what we've tried to do with the corn growers, is to get the EPA and these groups to update their model using today's technology. I mean, it'd be like saying, you know, telephone technology is based on party landlines that we dealt with in the 70s. Things have come a long way in technology overall, including agriculture and corn production.
What's a bushel of corn going for right now?
$3.50, I think, the last I looked, the futures market.
That's the price I saw. And I started looking at a chart of prices spanning 45 years. Ethanol was supposed to help boost corn prices, but at $3.50 a bushel, you're getting the same price as you did in 1974. So how has ethanol production helped corn farmers?
Well, you go back to more recent. When I started farming, the price of corn was in the $2 to $2.50 range. So it has went up. But the problem is the expenses to grow corn have went up more than that. So we've got a pile of corn out there. There's no questioning that. Farmers have done what we always do, is overproduce for what the market needs.
So there's a glut of corn on the market.
Oh, yes, there's definitely plenty of corn. But the current technology we use in both planting technology and our seed technology, the crop is more stable from year to year with weather events. So ethanol has used a lot of corn, but farmers have ended up producing more corn. It's kind of, and that's why we have one of the lowest food costs, you know, nationwide as a developed country, is because agriculture, once you turn it loose, we can do amazing things. And usually it ends up bringing the price down to a point where it's where we are today.
At the beginning of the interview, we were talking about what the government might be doing for or against corn ethanol in the future. Got any predictions on that?
Well, if, you know, granting the year-round waiver for E15 would be a great first step. Moving forward on working with the oil industry and autos on what the next fuel might be, because the autos have reached out in multiple ways on needing a higher quality fuel in order to meet the higher mileage requirements in the future. But there's still a lot of discussions going on across the board.
That is Jeff Sanborn. He's a corn farmer in Ionia County. He also sits on the board of the National Corn Growers Association and the Michigan Farm Bureau. Hey, thanks for taking a moment to tell us about this.
No problem. Anytime.